You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Cryptid Countdown with Joshua. This should be a fun one. We're bringing back a blast from the past. Ashley Dawson is here. You'll remember her as the model, digital creator, all-around badass that came on our podcast. Gosh, maybe 2 years ago, Ashley? It's been
a three. Day. It was before my life devolved into chaos, but like shortly before.
Okay.
And now the chaos storm has lifted and my life is normal again, but completely different.
Okay.
The girlies that get it.
We definitely want to hear all about that, but we're excited to have you back. And Joshua, what episode are we on? Where are we on the countdown tonight?
Yeah, it's been a second, but we are on episode number 7. So I believe this is cryptid number 4. I'm not good at math. I'm a communications major. So if I'm wrong, y'all correct me on that. But it looks like we're doing cryptid number 4, which happens to be one of my actual all-time favorites. I actually think it should probably be higher on the list. But the Thunderbird.
I read about that in South Dakota, where somebody was claiming that one snatched their kid and took it up in the sky and dropped it back down.
It was North Dakota.
Oh, North Dakota. I knew it was a Dakota. Dakota Fanning. I wasn't sure. But it's a pretty wild one. Well, Ashley, I want to, before we jump into the cryptid, you had mentioned that you'd had a lot going on in your life. For the fans who may be going, gosh, I kind of remember Ashley. What was her story? Her story was the one where she had heard a voice that had told her that her dog had actually passed away at home. And she was at the grocery store with her mom and had, really tried to convince her mom this had happened. And they got back home. And sure enough, the dog had died. It was in the backyard. And the voice, I guess, had been proven correct. And you had some other stuff going on, too. But I think that was the
other stuff.
Yeah. The big part of the story. So, yeah. What's your life been like since we last spoke?
I'm going to give you the short version because I think that, like, hitting it bullet point by bullet point is just the easiest way to go. Okay. Best friend almost murdered. Okay. That's number one. He suffered a traumatic brain injury. That was a whole thing. Left a fiance. So I canceled a wedding. Granted, he never planned it. So like it really didn't exist. And it was a super interesting situation. Left him for my best friend, which I'm currently dating and live with and have been dating for 2 years. And I went from not believing in soulmates to finding mine. So that was lovely and beautiful. I got my braces off on Monday. Holla, holla. And I collected a few more diseases in the last few years that I've been talking about online because nobody talks about that shit. Oh, and I found a dog tied to a tree.
Wow, that was quite the bullet point countdown of several years of life. Yeah. If people want to check out your content, what's the best place to go for that?
Probably Instagram or TikTok, and it's just Lapin Studios, like LAPIN. And sometimes there's an underscore and sometimes there's not. So good luck figuring out which app that's on because I don't know
Okay. Works for me. Now we'll segue to Thunderbirds.
I feel like it's going to be terrifying. Like, what the fuck are these things? Please, Josh. Yeah. Joshua, yeah. Tell me.
Thunderbirds are kind of terrifying, I'm not going to lie. I've always been fascinated with the theory of the Thunderbird because it goes back so far into indigenous culture. You see, you can find, you know, Thunderbirds etched into petroglyphs pretty much on the entire continent. It's not just North America or Central America. Like, it's through and through. And so I always found that interesting, you know, I think they're so fun to talk about in theory, because there's always a question in the back of people's minds, you know, are dinosaurs still here? Do pterosaurs still, are they still here? Are pterodactyls still around? You know, how can you really know?
Yes.
But the descriptions of them are so powerful and fierce that it almost leads you to believe that there's something out there that could be a remnant. I mean, like an alligator in the water, you know, you could have the giant, you know, flying dinosaur in the sky, but I actually have a theory about what they are, but they're a really cool cryptid, I would say.
Yeah, they're supposed to have an 80-foot wingspan, right?
Yeah,
it's 70, but it's 70. Horrifying.
Like, it can be up to that. So, like,
yeah,
because if you look through stories, there's been so many different accounts, I would say, of varying wingspans, but the common theme is like you see them really high, they come out the trees, and you know. They're thought to be rather peaceful, despite the encounters that have quote unquote taken place with them. But yeah, like I can't even imagine like a bird with a 70-80 foot wingspan. I mean, that's, or a bird like creature with a 70 or 80 foot wingspan. Well, yeah. That's like an airplane.
Yeah, because a condor is like 10 feet, and I would have thought that's huge. Yeah. 70 feet is like an airplane. I mean, that's insane.
I think it fits in kind of like the storytelling lore. I think that's what makes the Thunderbird so fascinating, because you can take something that's simple with a big wingspan, and you can fancify it. You can exaggerate its presence, and you can exaggerate the grace and things that it flies with. And so I went to the zoo in Denver. I believe it was Denver. It could have been Cheyenne, Wyoming. Could have been Colorado Springs. I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, it was somewhere over in the Southwest. And we actually went and saw an Andean condor in captivity. And I looked over to my wife and said, that is the biggest thing that I've ever seen. And I would be absolutely terrified if that thing flew out of the trees and looked at me. And having that same reaction really makes me think of what people could have seen when they saw a Thunderbird, which is very similar in description as well.
Now multiply that by 7 and have it steal babies.
Yeah, Joshua, what do you think about that? That story that I guess we all saw when looking at this. I mean, a lady claims that a Thunderbird stole her baby right from her yard. How do you explain that one?
I can see that. I can see a buzzard, like if it was a really big buzzard, or a condor. I think condors are the culprits. I'll just go ahead and say that now. I think condors are the culprits. We don't have a lot of them in the United States, but that doesn't mean we didn't always have a lot of them in the United States. I was thinking about looking at my child, and if she was out in the middle of the yard, like in a field or something, and a condor was like, ooh, you know, I eat, you know, big animals already. So like, what's a small child to me? And just, I can see that interaction happening. Because my child's like not big at all. Like I a normal buzzard is almost as big as she is. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. But I also think that, in my opinion, people do get caught up in kind of the mass hysteria. And once one person sees something, everybody sees something. And sometimes you can have stories that, you know, maybe they're true, maybe they're not.
Hold on. I think this kid was like 6 though. Like, yeah, that's kind of a big size difference.
Yeah, if I remember, he was weighed like 54 pounds or something like that.
Yes, he weighed 54 pounds. Okay, does your daughter weigh 54 pounds?
she's about a fifth of that, but she's about a fifth. But
like a big softball compared to a bowling ball.
Fair enough. I think there could be some merit to a bird being really hungry that day. But it also does kind of add to the lore, though. You know, what kind of bird do you have to be in size to see a child and pick it up 30 feet off the ground? I mean, 30 feet is not, you know, small apples at all. Like that's a pretty large distance off the ground.
Well, how actually, did they get it back down? Like the kid survived, right? Like they didn't drop him.
Yeah, I think it did drop him. I don't know how.
Would he survive that?
Well, it looks like he did.
It's a lot of feet. I have to believe that these condors were like, let's just put this back. It tastes weird. And like lowered him slowly into his mother's arms and then took the family dog. Okay.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you because it seems like the Thunderbirds get kind of a bad rap, and maybe it's from the condors. You being a marketing genius, how would you try to PR the Thunderbirds into a good light?
Do this. You were looking for a PR package for a condor that tried to eat a child?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. That sounds good.
I would start off by saying, not all condors. That's all I got. I'm sorry. I don't have anything else. It's too late at night.
Not all condors. That's it.
Not all condors, but like some, which ones are the dangerous ones? They all look like dinosaurs. Like, how do we know the condors that are going to be friendly to children? We don't.
I don't even know in my head exactly what a condor looks like. I mean, Joshua, are these Thunderbirds essentially just pterodactyls?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you ask that because there are several, and I say several, I mean, there's like two different descriptions, but one is kind of like the standard, what you would see is like a buzzard, like a just a really big buzzard. So a condor is just a really fancy, you know, like a higher class way of saying a big buzzard, because that's basically what they are.
Does it wear like a fedora and it's like, how you do, you do?
Yeah.
Smokes a cigar while flying. Yeah.
It's PR recon.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of like a traditional, like, I guess in the South, we have more turkey vultures than we do. Mm-hmm. Like a vulture, essentially, just a lot bigger. And then the other description very much resembles like a pterosaur. Big long beak, kind of smoothish in a way with big gigantic wings. And the indigenous tribes that saw it in two different ways. So like if you go to the Pacific Northwest, they have their version. And if you go to like Michigan and the Great Lakes and you go to the like Northeast, they all have their different version. And then if you go into like Canada and Alaska and all, and even going down to South America and like Central America, they all have their different like slight variations. Like with most things, like, you know, Bigfoot has its slight variations depending on what region it's at. It kind of fits like that. But because these sightings of Thunderbirds, quote unquote, have happened not just on this continent, but others, it really does lead people to believe that there might be a possibility that this could be just a living dinosaur, especially with a lot of the reports that have come out like over the past 200-300 years saying that I've seen a flock of these come out the trees. Or
did they black out the sun?
I would imagine that they would. Yeah.
And are they called thunder?
I believe in Megalodon. If I believe in Megalodon, I can believe in this thing too.
is the reason they're called Thunderbird? Are their wings supposed to be so loud that they represent thunder? Is that the idea behind it?
Yeah. So that also comes with a couple of different theories. So when indigenous tribes would see this Thunderbird, it would either precede a storm that was coming in the area, or exactly what you said, it would flap so loud that it was like thunder, and that its eyes were so piercing that it was like it had lightning in them. So it just took on this new, like, it almost took on like a fable form. And it became a thing of legend and storytelling, and also it kind of became a beacon of strength in the sky, and kind of a protector in a way. Despite, you know,
until it takes your kids,
right? Until it's the not all condors campaign,
it'll protect you and your house for 1 year for one child.
So obviously, people hunt Bigfoot. You know, they try to capture it on film and video. I guess that's kind of the same thing. But do people also try to, is there as big of a coalition to try to document the Thunderbird, or is it mostly just kind of in Fable and we just talk about it?
At a time there was, especially when you had the big boom in like the late 1800s and kind of the, and especially in like the Michigan, you know, like the Great Lakes region, when people just started seeing a slew of them. But that's kind of eased off. I would say anybody who's Thunderbird hunting now, like they're in a really small minority. Like it's a fringe group at this point, because nobody's really thinking about the Thunderbird in the grand scheme of, you know, especially in the rise of like cryptids. The Thunderbird is not one that normally comes up. I mean, you have variations or offshoots like the Jersey Devil, and you know, cryptids like that. But the Thunderbird is kind of becoming a lost cryptid, I would say, in my mind.
I feel like people just don't like. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like the mass hysteria about things like Bigfoot really disappeared with the global pandemic and like 2020 and all this crazy shit. Because it's like, all right, well, I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. So I guess this like really large bird is probably real. Like, you know what I mean?
You know, that's a really good point, though. Like, I know during the pandemic, so much stuff happened.
Wild shit.
Yeah, like and the desensitization of wild things, I think, could make you look at cryptids and say, yeah, maybe not. Like Megalodon talks went up, for example, and Bigfoot like fear kind of, in my opinion, went down some. And
well, I mean, UFOs, just look at UFOs. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like it's become so standard now for our government to release videos of it. People were just kind of like, yeah, UFOs, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Even the balloons.
Yeah, we also
used
to like, we used to do this funny thing in this country where we thought the government was like protecting us and it was all fine and everything was good. And there's things that work that like we don't understand. And it was like a process. Now, after the pandemic, we're like, everyone's just hack jobbing this, aren't they? There's probably 1,000 aliens in some locker in Arizona right now and like 10 megalodons hanging by their fins and some like, ice pick locker in Canada, like, you know what I mean?
Well, there was something that went viral on TikTok maybe the other day where people had pictures of this group of, I think it was like kind of indigenous people, and they were surrounded by aliens. Did you guys see that on TikTok?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay. It looked very CGI-ish to me, or AI replicated.
Oh yeah.
But you know, you definitely had those videos on TikTok where it was like, what do you think about it? You know, like doing the YouTube voice like that.
Dude, the AI. Okay, this is a tangent. I don't know if those are allowed, but the AI voices are cracking me up. There is one. I'm a big Swiftie. There is one of Taylor Swift basically being like, I don't care if my tickets are over $1,000. Maybe people shouldn't be poor. And it's like not her. Like she didn't say it.
Wow, all that stuff's going to be a real problem, like the deep fake content. I don't know how that's going to get regulators sorted. Yeah, I mean, it's so easy. Even now with all this AI in beta form, I use a lot of it to create content for the podcast as far as like, you know, digital content. And it just takes me just typing in words until I get a couple things I need, and then I can Photoshop it all together. But we'll see where
they're replacing like human models with AI ones because they say it adds diversity. No, it doesn't. There are real diverse people out there. You just want to save money by not hiring models and using a robot.
Have they seen you in your cow suit? Like, how could they ever replace that? Suit isn't the right word. I don't
honestly
know what.
Honestly, I think thong. I think that my image online is probably what's causing them to go a different path.
Don't
they're like, these bitches are crazy.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your wild grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We need to just create them from scratch, okay?
No, your pictures are so, you have like the most unique style. And yeah. Like, do you tend to work with the same photographer, or do you work with a lot of different
The same
artists?
So it depends. I do have a couple of female photographers that I've known and are like close friends of mine. I've known mm-hmm. them since I started like 8 years ago. And then I do have like at least a couple hundred connections between Atlanta and like New York specifically that I've been working with and like know of. And then some are like casting calls, and then those will be photographers I haven't met. And yeah. But yeah, for the most part, like these days, I kind of stick to a couple of like really close friends I know. Because it's hard like to try to communicate an entire artistic idea to like a creative partner, like a photographer, because I'm not just the model, right? Like set design, wardrobe, stylist, everything. Yep. Like, there's two people on set. There's me and there's the photographer. So like if you're not vibing with that person, if you're not close with that person, if like they don't understand and you don't understand them, you're gonna create some shit. It's gonna be real weird, but not in the fun way. So yeah. Like, you know,
that's a great point. Oh boy. That is a great point. I've been there, done that. That is yikes.
Back in Joshua's underwear modeling days.
Dude, I did lingerie modeling for a while, and it was so weird because you stopped I had to stop. I was like, I can't post these things anymore because no offense, but y'all know I'm not talking about you. Like, men are so fucking creepy too.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
couples too. Couples would reach out to me and I'm like, go back to your lives. I don't know you.
My goodness. Yeah, I've never had that issue. So
yeah. My wife's a photographer, and just as you get to know like the photographer community, not to like put them on blast, but I mean it is
Please
what it
do.
Is.
There's, Please do.
There are some really strange men who shoot photos. I'm just going to be straight up. Like, I've told my wife so many times, like, hey, I'm going to come with you on this one. Because we're okay on this one. So I feel your pain on that one. Like, it's just like, just be a better person to people.
I That's why I like with my like side gig or like my passion projects and stuff, like I don't work with, I mean, like I will work with male photographers and I have quite a few male photographers that I'm very close with and who are super talented. But like for the most part, if I don't know you, someone will be coming with me to set that day. And if I do know you, someone might be coming to set with me that day, depending on if I trust you or not. And then like, in addition to that, I tend to like work on projects solely with the two female photographers I'm closest with, just because like we have to spend a lot of time together and like intimate time together, like half the time. Like this past weekend, my best friend came over and I bought a $20 kiddie pool, filled it with water and milk, and like got in it for like these photos, but like had to change in front of her and stuff. Like, and there are dudes that will sit there and watch. Like, you can't, you just can't. No, thank you.
Joshua, we should do that for some Real Hauntings promos. I feel like I bring the pool, pass? You bring the milk.
Yes. Yeah. It's just Josh in a like big kiddie pool of milk.
I'm and, not like, opposed to that at all.
On behind him.
Whatever it takes to get the clicks, you know, we gotta get it done.
Engagement matters.
Yeah, it does. Well, actually, I'm curious, like in that cryptid world, is there any cryptids that you've always kind of had a connection to or been interested in?
My big shark man, Megalodon. Okay. Like big he mega. Has my heart. All right. Somebody made this. Okay. I'm so weird. I like horror movies and I like weird shit. Okay. Last of Us is an obsession of mine right now, as is everybody's, but like Megalodon. Okay. I'm on Meg Talk. All right. And people get really confused because they'll be like, I'm on Swift Talk. They're like, we know what Swift Talk is. I'll be like, I'm on Mentally Ill Talk. They're like, woohoo, depression. And then I'm like, I'm on Meg Talk. And they're like, what the fuck is that? Like Harry and Megan? I'm like, no, Megalodon. And this guy created this AI helicopter that he was riding in. And there was this giant ship, and it looked so real. There was this giant ship. But just unreal to be unsettling. There was this giant ship like going into the water. And then this other helicopter, all of a sudden, like you see this fin slice across the water, but the fin is bigger than the boat. And you're like, that's not the correct size ratio, sir. And so then this other helicopter spins out of control and crashes into the boat. You're like, wow, phew. Thank God I'm not that helicopter. But then its propeller busts off and hits you and you go into the boat. And then the Meg... it's underwater, right? So you're trapped in the helicopter, banging, and then the Meg, you see it coming straight at you, and then he opens his mouth and the screen goes black. Fin, the end.
You know what's funny about that story? I've seen that video multiple times.
I knew you would have. I knew it because it had like millions of views and it was amazing.
Yeah, and you're right, it was just not real enough for you to find it unsettling, because it unsettled
uncanny
you.
Valley. Uncanny, yeah, Valley. Uncanny Valley. Uncanny sure. Meg Valley.
Yeah, that got me.
Do you share with the same obsession with like great white sharks, or is it specifically the Megalodon does it?
It's a process. Okay, so they're my biggest fear, but also I just love them and I don't know why. And so I won't go in the ocean because I respect sharks too much. I understand. Like, I understand that I look like a seal and I'm not stupid. So I'm not going to go out there and tempt fate. Just like I'm not going to jump out of a fucking plane. I cannot fly. Oh, you have a parachute. Yeah, but put together by who? Anyway, my two biggest fears, heights and sharks. So, of course, I'm obsessed with watching videos of both of those things. And this, I'm just obsessed with things that scare me, but I don't want to be in the real situation like most people. And so like great white sharks, the bigger the shark, the more obsessed I get, right? Like the 20 feet ones, holy shit, so cool. So like growing up, sharks were dope and I would read books about sharks and like everything like that. And then when I found out there was an even bigger shark, yeah, icing on the cake.
I have a couple of those like Megalodon teeth, like the old prehistoric shark teeth or whatever. They're pretty cool.
Oh yeah. I have some of those too. My mom's a crazy woman, but like not in a bad way. And she would like take us, like the weird little freaks we were, to the beach, and we would search for Megalodon teeth for like weeks. I mean, like we would not go on vacation. We would go shark tooth hunting. All we would do would be like travel to different beaches all around that beach. And then when we ran out of beach on that beach, we'd swim out to a sandbar. And then when we ran out of that, we'd find some like snorkeling boat, like She just wanted to find these teeth, and eventually she did find one, so good for her.
You know what's funny about the Megalodon? I've been sitting here thinking, and I've thought this for a while. I think the depictions of the Megalodon are so, like, ferocious, but if the Megalodon does actually exist, it's probably one of the calmest sharks in, or maybe one of the calmest creatures in the entire, like, landscape of the ocean.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you?
Waterscape. Because he doesn't bother anybody.
Why have we seen you? Right. If you can't find the shark, he's being real nice. Like, don't rock the boat, literally.
Well, if there are Megalodons, I wonder if it's a thing where it's like the Loch Ness Monster, where there's like one that survived, or if there's like a whole gaggle of Megalodons out there somewhere, you know?
I'd like to think that little Meg babies are being born, and instead of like being a cute little baby shark, they're just like these rough and tumble shark toddlers, you know what I mean? Like, they're born at like 15 feet already. They have like scars across like their lip, like their mouth, and there's like an eyeball missing, and it's like, yeah, that's baby Meg.
So going back to the Thunderbird, no, it's fine. I always like to find out where our guests are on the cryptid radar, because I think we all, like, not everybody has as much knowledge as Joshua does in the field, but most of us, at least, like, there's one or two cryptids that we grew up being like, oh, this is badass.
Walkers and the sunflower eye children. Okay,
did you say moonwalkers?
I said the skinwalkers, things that, like, if you astral project, they steal your body. Mm-hmm. And then there's also those kids with the black eyes and, like, cornfields.
Yeah.
What are those called? Like,
yeah.
Absolutely not. Look, children are terrifying as it is. Why do we want to make them scarier? Like,
yeah, well, you know, Joshua's got a 56-pound infant at his house, so watch out.
Brown baby.
Well, Joshua, with the Thunderbird, if people do want to try to find it, where's their best bet to go out and stare up in the sky?
Wow. I mean, pretty much anywhere, like, personally, I would say anywhere, like, in the north, like, from Pennsylvania all the way throughout the Great Lakes. I think that's probably had the highest concentration, at least in North America, I would say, or the United States, I would say. So go up north and hang around Pennsylvania. There's like a ton of resources around where you can find, or at least stare at the sky for a couple of days, couple of weeks, if that's your thing.
And there's where
some
do you...
shit, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, there is a lot of cryptid stuff.
A lot
in Pennsylvania. That's true. And where do you kind of fall on the scale of believing if Thunderbirds are real? I mean, I think it's one of the interesting cryptids where so many things have been named after it. You know, I've joked about the car a couple of times, but there was like a cartoon in the 80s that, you know, was named after that. There's several things in pop culture. So where do you fall? Is it? Huh?
I was saying Zapdos.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, like, which Pokemon is this thing?
I would say, for me personally, I think I'm on more of the side of believing this cryptid more than not believing it. Maybe not necessarily like all the mythical properties or like the supernatural properties, but simply because, like, when it comes to things in the air and when it comes to things in the water,
we don't fucking know.
Yeah, and I would say I'm like an 8.
Wow.
And believing that this cryptid could exist in some form outside of just being a condor.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, I think we did it. I think we covered the Thunderbird. Ashley, it was so cool to see you. I'd love to get you back on like a proper episode where we can really catch up. But
I can never tell if, like, I did good or not, because I'm so fucking weird and I never stop talking. So no,
it's a perfect recipe for us.
Yeah.
For people that, you know, obviously we kind of talked about your modeling and different things you have going on, I do think your social media is like one of the cooler ones to follow. Is there anything that you can kind of hype up that's coming out soon or just came out recently?
It doesn't really feel right to do that right now after yesterday. I think I'd rather just speak condolences to the families that lost 6 people yesterday. Yeah, and just say that as a member of the queer community, we do not stand with the shooter at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a very poignant way to put it. Well, Joshua, I will toss it to you and let you wrap up your episode.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Ashley. Thanks, Noah, as always, for spearheading this really cool series. That was the Thunderbird, y'all. And I have some really cool, the last three are they're good. So just, you know, that's all I could say. They're really good. And you're going to enjoy the rest of these episodes like you have these episodes. But until then, this is the Crypto Countdown, and we will see you soon.
Every 5 minutes, a transplant candidate dies while waiting for a compatible heart, liver, or kidney. Imagine a technology that could provide those life-saving transplant organs for a high price, and imagine what a company would do to monopolize that technology. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists unlocks this holy grail of medicine by reverse engineering the genomes of all mammals, creating an animal with organs perfectly suitable for human transplantation. They envisioned a docile herd animal, but one team member had another, darker vision. This ancestor is anything but docile. The team's work spawns something big, something evil, something very, very hungry. Ancestor is a complete serialized fiction podcast by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler, with all episodes available. Binge the entire story now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.